on praise and worship. We need to do more of it. And I'd just soon get involved with it as much as I can while you're here.
Amen.
Praise God. So I'm going to turn it over to you, brother.
Thank you very much.
And I'll tell you what, you bring the anointing with you. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Good morning.
Morning.
Everybody doing good this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's pray together and then we'll get started. Amen. Praise God. Father, we just love you and we worship you and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that we have the opportunity and the privilege that it is that you've made a way that we could actually come directly into your presence to honor you and to bless you. And Father, that you receive our worship. You receive our worship. It smells really good to you. Kind of like mom's apple pie, man. I mean, it just does it for you. And so we thank you, God, that we can actually please you. And we love you and we honor you. Father, see the content and the intent of our heart, that it's pure before you. And we honor you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to tell you a little story real quick before we get started. There was a bird. They've already started in. There was a bird. And the bird was in the north and it's getting time to fly south. And so all the family gets ready and they're headed out south. And he says, you know what? I think I'm going to stay here this year. I kind of like it here. He said, my nest is really warm and it's nice and big and fluffy. And I just think I'm going to be all right this year. So I think I'm just going to hang around. So they start to fly south. And after 2 or 3 weeks, the cold starts blowing in. And the weather starts changing and the ice is coming and the rain is coming and everything's dropping below freezing. And so he says, man, you know what? I think I made a gigantic mistake. So he says, but I think if I fly really fast, I may be able to beat the weather. So he takes off and he's flying as fast as he's finding every tailwind he can find, man, to just get there as fast as possible. So he gets to flying and just within a matter of a few hours, the ice starts forming on his wings. Blood starts getting thick. Rain is pouring down, weighting him down. Before he knows it, he realizes in his mind, this is the end of the story. This is done. I'm over. This is the way it's going to end. So just at that last moment, he glides down to the ground, just thinking he's about to just end it all. And he glides right into the door of a barn. And he lands in the barn, right on the floor in the hay. And he's laying there completely frozen. The only thing working still is just his little mind just reminding him that this is the end. It's done. Toast. It's over. And just as he's ready to give up the ghost, so to speak, a cow walks by. And the cow just backs up and just poops right on him. And just when the bird thought it couldn't get any worse. So he's sitting there and his mind is thinking, you know, this is just a fine way to end, isn't it? You know? But after a few minutes, he starts noticing something. His wings start kind of wiggling a little bit. And he notices that his blood's starting to pump. And it, wow, you know, man, the ice is melting. And man, this feels good. And he thinks, you know, I might just make it, you know. Wow. And he starts just chirping to the top of his lungs because he's so excited because he's going to make it. And just as he starts chirping, an old farm cat comes in. And he hears the chirping and he goes over and he takes his paws and he cleans the cat off as good as he can. And he eats, the bird, cleans the bird off as good as he can. And eats the bird. And that's how it ends. But there is a moral to the story, of course. The moral to the story is this. Not everyone who poops on you is your enemy. And not everybody who cleans you off is your friend. And the greatest moral of the story is this. When somebody poops on you, would you please just keep your big mouth shut? So I'll tell you what, it's a good lesson to learn. Amen. Listen, I'll tell you what, it's great to be here, and I just love speaking on worship. I love leading people into worship. I just love worship, period. I'm telling you, it's one of those things that absolutely revolutionized my life. As a musician for 27 years now, most of that in the world. And then when I was born again in 1991, and the first time I ever led worship, I didn't even know what it was. I was just instructed on how to do it. And I remember the first time I ever learned worship, and I remember driving home that night. It was one of those nights where you just knew that this had nothing to do with you. You know, it's one of those times where you just know that you actually had zero to do with this thing, it felt like. You know, God just totally come in and just took over. And I remember driving home that night, and my wife, and I was talking to her, and I said, you know, ever since I first started playing music professionally at age 14, ever since I've been playing, it's been like, you know, everybody describes this hole in their heart, you know, like something's empty. Well, I mean, that's kind of the way I described it, but it was like, I described it like as a ring, and someone took a saw and they cut just a little line in it, and it just wasn't quite completed, you know? And I said, it's amazing, because after that night, it felt like someone just come and they took a solder and they just closed the ring. And I felt, now I'm complete. This is how I know. And God called me that night into worship, into the ministry. And so we've been just doing the best we can ever since. And praise God for it. Turn over to Exodus 33 first. Music is a powerful thing, guys. How many of you remember that special song between you and your bride? Anybody remember the song? Come on, somebody raise your hand. Anybody remember the song? Man, what was the song? Do you remember?
It was Elvis.
Elvis?
No, it was Thank You by Led Zeppelin.
Thank You by Led Zeppelin. That's a good one. What was yours, ma'am? I'm sorry?
A Somber Place.
Oh, A Summer Place. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who else remembers? Yes, sir.
I only have eyes for you.
Anybody else? Yes, ma'am, over here.
Unforgettable.
Hey, thank you. What was yours?
Don Francisco, I could never love you on just my strength alone.
I could never love you on just my strength alone. That's great. Mine was, she's a brick. How? I'm not teasing, okay? I'm really not teasing. My mom and dad's was Johnny Cash, which I love, Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash, Burning Ring of Fire. And I always kept wondering, now why in the world was it Burning Ring of Fire? I didn't know it was a love song until the movie came out. You know, so I always thought my mom and dad was just a little strange, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, is it love or is it the Mexican food you ate the night before? You know, I'm not so anyway, music is a very, very powerful tool. But when it's connected to something in your heart, it becomes much more powerful. Music in of itself is not worship. It's not just worship, but when it's connected to worship, it takes us into some wonderful, wonderful places with God. God loves music. He loves music. And so when we tie that into the heart, into the content and the intent of our heart, that becomes pure worship before God, in spirit and in truth. I love what Pastor taught. Man, if you are not going to his Sunday school class, you need to go. It was so awesome about what truth means. It was powerful. But worship is more than just music. It's about the heart. It's about the content of your heart. When I get ready to lead worship, this is what I always pray. I always pray, Father, whatever I've dealt with this week, whatever junk that's in my life, whatever stuff I'm struggling with, I ask you now, help me to make sure that my heart is pure before you. Because I want it to be authentic. I don't want it to be fake. I don't want it to be religious. Religion stinks, guys. I don't want it to be religious. I want it to be something that's from my heart, that's completely heartfelt. So, what is not only, though, the presence of God, and when we get into that worship, but there's also an effect of that worship. There is a goal to the purpose of worship. And it's for this corporate church. What's the final thing that happens when we really understand how to worship God? Well, we're going to show you. Exodus 33 talks about a lot of different things. But specifically, Moses would go to the tent of meeting. And when he would go, the people in the camp, the word would start spreading. And it would be like starting right here. And if Moses is walking to the tent and he starts walking down the path toward the tent of meeting, and the word spreads. And yet, pastor, Moses is headed to the tent. Check it out. Here he goes. And it would just keep spreading all throughout the camp. And then as Moses would go, and everybody's coming out to the entrance of their tent, and they're looking, and they're watching. There he goes. And just as he goes into the entrance, they see this pillar of cloud come down, and it covers the entrance, so they can't see God and Moses communicating with each other. And it says that when the pillar of cloud comes down, that something very interesting happens. They all stood at the entrance of their own tent and worshiped. This is a wonderful example for us. That not only do we come to this tent of meeting, so to speak, to worship God, but if we're just relying on this hour and a half to get it done for us, we're in big trouble. You're in big trouble. Because there is no way that you're going to be able to connect with God in an intimate, powerful way and experience God in such a real way if all you're getting is when you come here. It's going to require a little bit of discipline. It's going to require something of you. Now, what's wonderful about God is this, is that, you know what? Your salvation has absolutely nothing to do with you. You had nothing to do with it. You received it, but you had nothing to do with it. But after we become a Christian, now some responsibility comes back on us. And now we're required to grow up in God. We're required to mature in God. We're required to learn what it takes to stay connected to God. And when we begin to understand what that means, then we can't help but just want to be in His presence. One time in God's presence, the way I'm talking about, and you will never be satisfied with less. You will hunger for more until you reach that place every single time. It's wonderful that God provided salvation for us with no responsibility on us. Thank God, because we would have just totally messed it up. I mean, it would have been a disaster. That's why when God cut covenant with Abraham for the first time, you notice what He did with Abraham? He explained it, and then He put him to sleep. Well, why did He put him to sleep? Because God's thinking, you know what? You're really going to make a mess of this deal if I let you have anything to do with this whatsoever. So it says that God not only did His part in the covenant, but then He went and He did Abraham's too, while he was asleep. So God, in some way or another, actually kind of, and I don't even know how to understand it, but it's almost like God made a covenant with Himself. Because He knew it couldn't be broken. And the only reason that Abraham had anything to do with it is because he happened to be in the big middle of it. And when you come over into the New Testament, that's exactly what God did with Jesus. He said this, you don't have anything to do with it. So I'm going to send my Son, and He is going to pay the price. He is going to be the answer for your sin. He's going to take it on Himself, and then I'm going to covenant with Him, and you're just going to happen to be in the big middle of this thing and get it. Are you following me? Does this make sense? Because all of a sudden it takes the pressure off, doesn't it? Does it not take the pressure off? Does it not take the condemnation out of the whole picture? To realize, you know what? All I got to do is just stand in the middle, man. All I got to do is just stand in the middle. And boy, I mean, it's just coming this way and that way. And all I've got to do is just open my heart and receive it as it flows. It totally takes the pressure off. Guess what? You're going to screw up. You're going to mess up. You can't help it. It's going to happen. But what's wonderful is that God has already said, you're forgiven, you're made righteous, and all I have to do is confess and receive. That's it. But now from there, there's other responsibilities, and that's what we're talking about. But it goes on in chapter 33, and it says this, and this is where we want to get to. Exodus 33. And it's verse
11.
Well, in one of the translations, now this particular Bible doesn't say it the way that my NIV says it, but he's talking about this. It's around verse 21, where Moses asked God to see His glory. He's had this long communication with God, and now Moses says, now God, show me Your glory. And in one of the translations, it says this. It says, God said, I'm going to allow My goodness to pass in front of you. So when Moses asked for God's glory, God said, I'm going to show you My goodness. And when I read that, just being a simple-minded person, common sense to me says that God's glory is His goodness. Or at least a part of His glory is His goodness to us. Does goodness not bring glory to God? Now, does the world think that God is good? Come on, answer me. Does the world think God is good? Absolutely not. If you don't believe me, read your life insurance policy. What does it say? It says, in case of an act of God, you are not covered and we are not required to pay. Well, when an unbeliever reads that, are they going to be totally convinced that, wow, you know, God is good and these insurance people don't know what they're talking about? No. They're going to go, man, God, please. My family will starve. Please don't let an act of God happen because they need the money. You know? We think this act of God, this is how He operates. And so our responsibility, guys, is actually to go out and to show and convince the world that God is good. They're not going to come to Him unless they know He's good. And so our responsibility is to share that. So how do we do it? How do we do it? 2 Corinthians 3. So if we want to show God's goodness, and we want to understand that at least a portion of what we talk about when we talk about the glory of God is when He sheds His goodness on us. And His goodness surrounds us and envelops us. And then we're responsible for taking this goodness to the lost, to the world. 2 Corinthians starts talking about it. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, yada, yada, yada. 2 Corinthians 3, talks about, starting around verse 7, it's explaining the difference in the old covenant and the new covenant. It's explaining how the whole system changed. That there was goodness and there was glory in the old covenant. But there was still a veil that covered their faces, that they didn't understand exactly what all was taking place here. But it says that when we come over into the new covenant, the veil is taken away. And that we're able to see that Christ is the Messiah. We're able to see that it's grace and not works. We're able to see that it's His love and not judgment based in this covenant. But it says this, starting verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for unto this day the same veil remains. Now we're talking about the Jewish religion. The veil still covers their faces. They can't see that Christ has redeemed them. They can't see that Christ is the Messiah. The same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away only in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, praise God, that's us. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. But we with all unveiled faces, that's us. With all unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Living Translation says it this way, but we with all unveiled faces brightly reflect the glory of the Lord, and as the glory works in us, we become more and more like Him. So when we become into the presence of God, when we understand His goodness, when we understand the glory of God that's affecting us, and we come into that presence of God, where the Spirit of God is, and it begins to saturate us and infect us, and then we look in this mirror. And when we look into this mirror, the glory of God, the goodness of God, and we look in the mirror and we see this, all of a sudden the reflection of God comes back to us. And we see His goodness. We understand His mercy, His glory. And as that reflection, as the Spirit of God works in us, and we're in that presence, even as you would look in the mirror, we become more and more like Him. Now, what is the purpose? How are you possibly going to show God's goodness to the earth and give them the keys to life everlasting if you haven't spent enough time with Him to understand what the whole system means? You have to become more and more like Him. Now, how long have y'all been married? 17 years. How many times in the last week have you started to say something and she completed the sentence for you?
She doesn't have time.
Yeah, from the announcements, I figured that out. This happens a lot, doesn't it? The more I spend time with my wife, I start to say something, she's already thinking it. We'll open our mouths at the same time and we're singing the same song. It happens. Why? Because we spent time with each other. We understand how each other thinks. We're starting to two become one. So when we start to do this, we understand that our whole system changes. As we spend time with God and become more and more like Him, then His goodness is shown through us to the earth. That is the purpose of this corporate worship. If you want to change your community, if you want to create a buzz in this community, you grow up as Christians and you learn to worship God in an intimate way so that you can be changed into His presence. And then the passion, the compassion, and the love of God is shown to everyone that you come in contact with. Everyone. Now, what keeps us from doing it? I won't turn over there right now, but Haggai, the whole chapter is about one thing. It's about the children, the people that were delivered out of captivity have been out for 16 years. They've taken care of everything else in their life. They planted their crops. They planted their vineyards. They built their homes. They've developed a money exchange system. They've done all the things that they have to do to sustain life. But 16 years have gone by and they still haven't built a temple for God's glory to dwell. So he comes to the prophet and explains this. You need to tell these people that I've got an issue. Now, you know, I can just imagine God thinking, you know what? I would have gave them a couple of years. You know, I would almost just given them a couple of years. But 16? Not only should they have done it first, but they waited 16 years. So the prophet comes to him and tells him, for one of the very, very few times they actually listen for the first time. You know, typically, Moses, you remember what Moses and God, they're always talking each other out of killing them. You know, they're constantly having to talk each other out of killing them. You know, Moses says, God, I'm sick of these people. Just wipe them off the face of the earth and we'll just start over. And God is like, now hold on, Moses. Take a deep breath. Take a pill. Chill out. You know, and then, you know, not 2 seconds later, God is like, that's it. Shabow! They're out of here. And Moses is like, God, chill, man. Please chill. So, but anyway, for the first time they listen and they make this change. They make this change. And it says that when the prophet came back, because they've made this change, that the glory of God in this house, the latter house, is going to be even stronger than in the former house. I like to look at it like this, that God's goodness, because they obeyed, God's goodness is going to be so much stronger and so much more prevalent on their lives now than it ever even was before because they obeyed. Now, doesn't that sound a lot like a scripture in the New Testament? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all of these other things will be added to you. If we learn to put God's kingdom first, then the money, the houses, the lands, the vineyards, the food, all the things we need to sustain life, the $3 a gallon gasoline, all those kinds of things will be added to you if you would just put God first.
Amen.
This is our issue. We have a lot of problems doing what God needs us to do. Let me tell you what God wants. God wants the most valuable thing you have. The most valuable thing you have. You know what that is? It's that little watch right there. Ticking away 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That's what He wants. Every dime you'll ever make in your life is tied to that watch. Every relationship that you'll ever build or break is tied to that watch. Every single accomplishment you ever have in your life is tied to that. Your death is tied to that. Everything is tied to it. And God is saying, if you'll just sacrifice a little bit of it for me, that it's amazing what you'll get done in the time you have left.
Amen. Amen.
It's amazing just because you honor me first. So, if we want to change this community around us, we are going to have to spend quality time with God. In worship, in a time of togetherness, in a time of entering into His presence. And listen, let me tell you something. Listen to me. Here's the thing. Worship is a difficult thing. Now you're thinking I'm crazy. All right? But let me explain what I'm saying. True heartfelt worship is a difficult thing. You know why? Because now I'm not talking about praise. I'm not talking about having a great time shouting hallelujah. You know, boy, we get into that and boy, we're just all having a blast. You know, we don't care who sees us. We don't care. Footprints 3 feet up around the walls. I mean, we don't care. But when it comes down to really having to go deep, we have issues. Here's where the issues are. True worship requires a couple of very uncomfortable things. It requires, number one, vulnerability. True worship requires vulnerability. We don't like to be vulnerable. We don't like to have to bare our heart before God. We don't like to have to open up sometimes to people. These walls have been built up in our lives because of circumstances, maybe relationships, misuse, abuse, whatever. And we build these protection mechanisms up. And so when I start to have another relationship, I love you and I care for you, but I'll let you in, but you're only going to get as far as that wall. Because on the other side of that wall is pain. It's hurt. And I have difficulty trusting to let you through the wall to the other side. The problem with that is that all of these things, if we're not careful, affects how we worship God. And so when God comes and He wants to share with us, He wants to wrap His arms and His love around us as we just worship Him and enter into His presence. But if we're not careful, that wall will keep us from allowing Him to come on over. But here's the thing. If we don't let Him over, we'll never be able to truly trust or love again. Not in the deep way that you want to. So it requires vulnerability. It requires authenticity. God hates fakes. He hates fakes. It is not a good thing for Him. Fake. You've got to be real with God. He already knows your stuff. So what are you doing trying to hide it? That just shows kind of how goofy we all are, doesn't it? That the God who created us, and we think we can hide something from God. And God's probably like, you know, saying, would you just shut up and get real, man? You're a nut. So let's get real with God. Let's get real with God. God wants real. I only know of two or three times where I could honestly say this to you, that I think God spoke to me. And I'm sure that, you know, those things in your heart that prompt you, those are of God. But yeah, there's two or three times where I just know it was like, wow, you know? And so, and it usually happens one or two times. For some strange reason, it's either while I'm watching Fear Factor or the Discovery Channel. I don't know why. One of the greatest things God ever showed me about worship was while I was watching Fear Factor with my three boys. I have four children. And my three boys and I, we have Fear Factor night every Monday night. Oh, it's great. Mama don't come nowhere close. But it's wonderful. But I was watching Discovery Channel, and here's what happened. They discovered a fish in South Africa that has the camouflage thing going on. And so what happened was, is they wanted to test this fish. And so they took the fish. They put him into a bright blue aquarium. And within just a matter of about 45 seconds, that fish turned completely blue, matched the tank except for the little beady eyes. So they decided, okay, let's mess with the fish. So they took the fish out, put him in a red tank. Same thing happened. About 45 seconds, he's completely red, matches the tank. So the scientists are like, you know what? We're going to mess with the fish. We're going to mess with the fish. And he's going to need counseling when we get done with him. So they took an aquarium and they painted him red and blue checkerboard. And they take the fish, they drop him in the tank, and within about 45 seconds, the fish turns completely, perfectly matching the checkerboard tank. Now, the scientists need counseling, and the fish is having a good time. What kind of a Christian are you? What kind of a Christian are you? Are you a carrot Christian? Or are you an egg Christian? Or are you coffee ground Christian? A carrot, think about it. It's hard and stiff and brittle. But the moment it gets put in hot water, what happens? It gets soft and mushy. Well, what about an egg? It is soft, easy to break, one wrong move, and everything oozes out. But you drop it in hot water, what happens? It's hard, solid. But what about coffee grounds? You take coffee grounds and it's almost like dirt to a degree. Now, it don't taste like dirt. Starbucks, thank you, Jesus. I reap Starbucks cards in the offering. I'm their greatest supporter. Anyway, coffee grounds. Just feels like dirt. But what happens when you put the coffee grounds in water? It gets good. It turns into coffee. But if you've ever brewed coffee wrong, what do you find out? That the coffee grounds are still there. So here's the thing. You take the carrot out of the water and the carrot is soft. You take the egg out of the carrot. You take the egg out of the water, It's hard-boiled. But what's different about coffee grounds is when it gets dropped in hot water, it doesn't allow the hot water to change it. It changes the hot water.
Yep.
What kind of a Christian are you? When you get dropped into hot water, are you going to let the environment affect you, or are you going to change the environment? When people see that kind of strength in you, they will be drawn to Christ. When they see the love of God in you, they will be drawn to Christ. Amen? Everybody stand up. Let's pray for just a moment. Then I'm going to turn it back to Pastor. And then we're going to come in and just maybe just sing one song and just worship just a moment more when we finish, if that's okay. Pastor, is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Father, we just thank you so much for your love and your mercy to us and your word. God, we thank you that you are so good to us. We thank you that you are so merciful to us. We thank you, God, that we know that we can come and we can open our hearts before you, that we can be affected by you, and that then we can go into this world and do what you've called us to do, which is the ministry of reconciliation, drawing others to Christ. Because when we show acts of kindness, random acts of kindness, that people begin to see that you are good. And so, Father, we ask you to teach us how to be sensitive to this. Teach us how to be aware of these things. And to allow you to change our heart in such a way that we understand your goodness and we want to share that goodness with others. Father, we believe that this is the way to build a church. That this is the way to affect a community. Because people need to see that there is goodness in this world. And you are the creator of goodness. And we love you for that. And we honor you for that. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everybody be seated. Let me just tell you about our product before Pastor comes. We have a couple of different things out there. We have our brand new CD out there called Just Worship. Wonderful CD. We have our Higher CD, which is our live praise and worship album. This has a lot of the songs you guys do here at the church. You guys do a lot of the songs that I've written, so praise God. Thank you. Eagle's Wings, Higher, You Are My Everything. You guys do a bunch of the songs. So that CD is available. We have three teaching series. This one is called Can't We All Just Get Along? It's about unity. We have one called Excuse Me, But Do You Have the Time? And it's talking about worshiping for God. And then we have another one called God Seekers. And somebody said, you know, well, what about God Seekers? Well, you know, I like to look at it like this. I don't know about you. And I know your pastor. I've heard so much about your pastor from the Hagans and from different people. And he's such a phenomenal teacher. And I wonder if you've seen it like this. But to me, this simple guy, I don't even have a college education. And I look at it and I say, you know, it's almost like God likes to play hide and seek with me every once in a while in the Word. Because, you know, I'll see something. But then for the fifth or sixth time, I go, wait a second, that was there the whole time. And God's like, I just wanted you to look for it a little more, you know. It's called God Seekers. So we have this book out there that's talking about exactly what we talked about this morning, leadership and self-deception, how we deceive ourselves into thinking that we're right and everybody else is wrong. It'll totally revolutionize your life about love. About loving people just as they are. Every person that's created on the face of this earth, whether it's Billy Graham or a crack addict prostitute on the street, I don't care who they are, they deserve honor, they deserve respect, they deserve love, simply because they're a human being created by God. And if we stereotype them and we avoid them, how will they ever know God's goodness? Amen. You can have all of this for $40. Now listen, let me just tell you this. We are almost completely out of product. UPS did not get a new box of product to us. We have a bunch of the green CDs. We have a bunch of this. That is all we have out there. But we have that shipment coming here, and it's going to be here on Monday. So everything that you would like to order, you can place an order for it. We have a form back there, and you're more than welcome to do that. It will be here Monday, so you would be able to pick that up here at the church. Okay, you don't have to wait for shipping or anything like that. So please don't let that stop you, okay? But we do have the green CD out there, and we do have the book. If you're just wanting to pick this up, we'll let you have both of these for $25. All right? Bless you so much. We do take Visa and MasterCard, too, just so everybody knows. Pastor, thank you. Choir and band, why don't you come on up?
Thank you, Eugene. Praise God. We're going to receive an offering for Eugene, a love offering. So let's pray and receive one. Father, as we now prepare to receive for Eugene and for the trip that he's come all the way out here to be with us, Father, we just know that as your people give, they're going to give according to the leading of the Spirit. And Father, his needs will be adequately met in Jesus' name. We thank you for this gift. Amen. Okay, go ahead, ushers. I just want to say that Eugene is the first one to ever bring confirmation to me that I've been trying to get John Cook to understand that for years, is that he needs to be a coffee Christian. Praise God. And so here, I want to stick this in there. So I wanted to get that across to Eugene. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I thought I'd share that with you all. Go ahead.